Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen, and I have my interviewee, sister-in-law, Laura Whiffler, sitting right next to me today.
Yes, we're together, which is super fun.
Yeah, we do this occasionally. We record together in person, but we have kind of a special episode for you guys today, a topic that has come up several times over the course of Risen Motherhood, and that is just speaking to moms who maybe have a husband who maybe isn't as home as much as they would like due to potentially longer working hours or other commitments. And so just trying to talk through how to deal with that. Many of you guys have heard Laura, either maybe she's written about this on her blog or has mentioned it on past podcasts. So it's definitely a question we've gotten and we wanted to interview her, put her on the spot.
Yes, we're going to try to answer some stuff because I have, seven long years of learning to work with a husband with long hours. So,
and it's something that Laura and I have talked about a lot in person, just in our personal relationship. And I can attest to the fact that Laura is, just facing this with the truth of the gospel and just trying to grow in just God's grace as she's facing this process. So,
well, thanks, Em.
Yeah. So I want you all to hear the insider information. All right. So I guess let's just start by sharing your story a little bit. So what does your husband do and kind of what are his hours?
Okay,
roughly?
I'm getting real. So yeah, my husband is an engineer at a larger chemical and petroleum company. And so he works typically 12-hour days. Mm-hmm. And then he goes through these longer seasons once or twice a year where he'll work like 15 hours up to that amount, about sometimes longer, but usually less. But anywhere from about 30 to 90 days straight. He did have one that was for 3 months long. And yes, he works even on the weekends. So he is supposed to every other Friday off, but those don't always happen. And you know, it's kind of always been this way with him. Like he's always worked a lot, but especially after we moved here to the Chicago area, it became a lot more frequent for him to be working Fridays and weekends. And you know, he's always connected. He 2 a.m. conference calls, for him to take them in the guest room is not unusual. I've gone to birthday parties alone, Christmases, weddings, lots of different things. You know, we're not going to get in a ton, I think, to the why of why he works so much, just to kind of protect him and our family, but it's necessary in this season. And, I think that that's the season God has us in.
Yeah. So as you were listening, some of you guys may definitely relate to that. And even if your husband doesn't work quite that much, we don't want to get into the comparison game.
No, don't, not worth it.
But maybe you can kind of relate to that feeling of like, oh, my husband does have to take these calls, or I am going to events alone with the kids. And so, Laura, what is your kind of schedule in light of his schedule?
Yeah, I shared this a little bit on Ask Us Anything, but we keep a later schedule so the kids get to see him more. So they go to bed anywhere between 8 and 10 p.m. We have a really flex bedtime, and their wake-up time does reflect that. You know, he typically leaves my husband around 5 or 5:30 in the morning. And, you know, so we don't see him in the morning, and then we don't see him, we try to see him at night, but sometimes that doesn't happen. So, you know, our evenings are really fluid. A lot of times I do errands like after nap time, you know, kind of a weird time, or, the kids and I eat and we keep a meal hot for him or warm it up in the microwave. So, unfortunately we don't have family dinners right now either, except we do get them on weekends. Like, I don't want to make it sound like he's never home, but just typically on a weekday, that's kind of what it will look like.
It's funny. He's home right now. He's making sure kids don't pop out of bed while we get to record this.
We're in the basement. He's upstairs. So thank goodness.
So we're just going to dive in deep really quick here. And maybe you can go ahead and start to share what are kind of the biggest obstacles, just laying it out there on the table, that you faced in this process.
Yeah, I think when you have a husband that works a lot or just more than what you want, whatever your perfect is, and then it's more than that, which I think is for a lot of moms,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Especially when you're at home all day, or maybe you don't work full time, you kind of feel those hours away. And I think at first I took it really personal when he wasn't home, you know, things like, are you doing this intentionally because you don't want to be home, or wondering mm-hmm. if he prefers work over you and the kids. I think you expect him to have a lot more control over his schedule than he does.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think something that I would do is I would take it so personally, and then I would want to hurt him back personally, you know, just super petty and immature. But I would get so mad at him, I just wouldn't even speak.
Mm-hmm.
I would ignore him and give him the silent treatment. Sort of just willing him to cross me so that I could explode.
But I know that you're not in that pattern now.
Yes.
And we've talked through a lot of those things. So what were some of those realities about the gospel and about who you are in Christ, all of that good
yeah.
stuff? How did that come in and like start to change your response to him?
Yeah. Well, first of all, like wanting to do it that way, like silently grumbling and then explode, doesn't line up with the gospel at all. You know, when I sin against God, it's a personal offense to him, but what did he do for me instead? He doesn't explode back on me. Like, he gave me Jesus
mm-hmm.
and he paid that cost, and all that I get in return for my sin is grace and love and mercy, a wonderful relationship with my creator. And that's mm-hmm. something that, you know, I can extend that to my husband, even when I felt personally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just took me years to understand conflict management and resolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't really mean that you're just a doormat and that
mm-hmm.
you let your husband do anything you want. Like, this applies in,
mm-hmm.
or I'm sorry, do anything he wants. And
mm-hmm.
This applies in a lot of areas of conflict. But it does mean that you extend grace and you
mm-hmm.
don't make your husband, like, pay for being
mm-hmm.
home late by frittering away those precious minutes that you do have with them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you know, working on modeling the gospel to my husband and
mm-hmm.
my kids, and remembering that I'm not my husband's Holy Spirit. You know, I wanted to convict him with my
mm-hmm.
holier-than-thou actions or my words that, you know, we're just going to zing him in the heart. And but that really, I'm not his Holy Spirit. I cannot convict
yeah.
him. And so it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. And that's something you and I have talked a ton about personally
yeah.
in terms of marriage. I mean, everybody's got their own marriage things going on where we want to see our husband change in an area. And just the question of how do you walk alongside them in love on the same side of the table, facing it together
yes.
and going, again, I'm going to pray for you and lock arms with you and not be your enemy, because we are really not enemies with our spouse. So
yeah, you kind of have to learn to live in that yeah. tension together.
Okay, so another thing we've talked about a little bit, but wanted to dive into more, it's just kind of that comparison game. What did you learn about comparing your situation to other moms?
Yeah, it's pretty easy to compare. I mean, I know it isn't any situation, but, you know, I'd hear friends say, like, my husband didn't come home for lunch today. I would about die. You know, or my husband, you know, came at home at 5:30, or different things like that, that, like, genuinely is hard for them. And they're in a mm-hmm. different season of life, and they have their own hard things. And I think
mm-hmm.
I've had to learn every mom has hard, and it doesn't ever do any good to compare the hards
mm-hmm.
because it either leads you to pride or
mm-hmm.
it leads you to despair.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, honestly, I can only compare my standard to God. And what is his standard? Complete and perfect holiness. I
mm-hmm.
do not measure up. I fall short of that every moment of every day.
Mm-hmm.
But because of Christ's work on the cross, I'm redeemed, which frees me from needing to judge anyone else for feeling like, oh, you're a wimp, you know, and
mm-hmm.
wanting for me to be prideful in that, or to feel, you know, me feeling superior, being prideful, or
mm-hmm.
jealous of their home
mm-hmm.
situation too, and falling
sure.
into despair. So I think I can swing between both
mm-hmm.
Types of feeling, and it just never leads us anywhere good.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have to trust that God is good and what he has given us. Super hard.
Yes.
So another thing, obviously, we talk a lot about on Risen Motherhood is, like, where we're placing our identity. And so I guess, like, in this journey, as you've
yeah.
figured out that, hey, I can't necessarily count on my husband to be at this event. I can't necessarily count on him to do bedtime with the kids for me or give me this break. What have you learned about where your identity is and, like, where to place your expectations?
Yeah, I feel like this is one that God continues to work on.
Ongoing process
yeah.
here for everyone.
Hopefully, yeah, for everyone. And I think that, you know, it's easy to wrap our identity up in our husbands, no
mm-hmm.
matter what situation we're in. And that's just the fall, front and center
mm-hmm.
in our faces. And, you know, we were created to worship God, but once the fall happened, we were immediately worshiping anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said earlier, I would get so upset, just like a disproportionate response with my husband to what it needed to be, that I just got to a point, like, I guess this isn't the best, but like, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't live like that anymore. Mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. over it. I was kind of one of those, fine, God, I tried it my way. It doesn't work. I'll try yours. And unfortunately, but fortunately, I'm sometimes sad to admit that it took that, but I'm so thankful that God really brought me to mm-hmm. my knees to recognize that God's the only one that deserves my worship. He created me and his son died for me. And I think my husband will always fail me, you know, mm-hmm. like no matter what, if it wasn't work, it would be something else. Mm-hmm. But when I put my hope and my trust in God, like then I'm fully satisfied. He brings me full joy. And I think that I find my attitude is a lot more stable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not so up and down, not so rattled yeah. easily. And there's that perspective too of like keeping eternity in mind mm-hmm. and just knowing that my present can change all it wants, but my future never does.
Yeah.
And that is a hope that I think gets me through a lot of those yeah. hard days.
Yeah. It's unchangeable, undefiled, unfading.
Ooh, yeah.
Kept in heaven for you,
Ooh, yeah.
Laura.
Keep it coming.
Yeah. And I like how you pointed out just like that differentiation between really being able to love our husbands well can only happen when we're fully satisfied in God. Because then yes. we're not putting those
expectations,
needs.
Yeah, needs.
It's not a you feel my need-based love. It's a I love you because I've been loved.
Exactly, love. Exactly. Yeah, no strings attached love.
Yeah, no strings attached. Okay. All right, so another hard one. Kind of what do you feel like you've learned about being able to honor your husband? Because even though, again, we've talked about learning your identity and all these things, but it still doesn't necessarily change the circumstances.
Yes.
And so yeah. how do you continue to go forward and honor him?
Yes. So one phrase we like to joke about in our house is we always give daddy the best. Daddy gets the best. Daddy gets the best piece of pizza. I think I stole this from, I read a blog post. I'll have to link to it in the show notes, but I stole this from a blogger. It's not my own thing, but you know, he gets the best piece of pizza. He gets the best comfy chair. He, you know, gets the best smiles from mom. He gets the best, you know, I want him to like know that I value him and for my kids to see that too. Mm-hmm. And so one big thing I've had to learn a lot is to protect my kids, or I'm sorry, to protect my husband in front of other people, in front of my children. Mm-hmm. When dad works a lot, it means they miss a lot. Mm-hmm. And it can kind of feel like nothing's safe, nothing's off the table, even a vacation. And a lot of people don't understand why he has to work, or they can't really comprehend how much he works. Mm-hmm. And I think that it can, you want to justify that or defend that. But what I'm learning to do is just like, always speak highly of him, even if I'm not jiving with it in that moment. But mm-hmm. honoring him with my words, it doesn't mean it's false, but it means that I'm obedient mm-hmm. to Christ and I'm honoring him even when I'm feeling hurt mm-hmm. just because he's not with me. And so,
well, and let me just interject
yeah.
too, because in case somebody's going, oh no, does she, you know, who does she talk to then? That just to know, like, Laura, you do have safe and like relationships where you do process some
yeah.
of the hurts.
True.
But there is, in general,
yeah.
kind of just for the average
yeah.
acquaintance in person, that is going to look different. And I think that's a differentiator
it's,
there.
That's true. Like someone who isn't super close.
Sure.
Just like in the moment of, hey, how's it going? Where's
yeah.
Mike? You know?
Yeah.
and not go into like, oh,
yes.
my word.
Yes.
So. And I think too, like, I'm not a super naturally merciful person, let's be honest. But God is really teaching me that godly womanhood does look like, you know, protecting my husband, but also like winning him and having kind and gentle words, or sometimes no words at all. You know, mm-hmm. you'll win him without words.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that like, even when I don't understand what's going mm-hmm. on or why he has to work, like, I don't get it. It's just choosing to trust him. And if I cannot trust him, knowing I can trust God
mm-hmm.
with our situation.
Yep. yep.
So, and the last totally. Thing I think is just mm-hmm. like, I spent some time memorizing mm-hmm. verses that would help me when I was in the heat of it, wanting to lash out, wanting to be angry, wanting to get upset
mm-hmm.
and just saying, let me say these verses, mm-hmm. take hot 10 hot seconds to kind of chill out.
Yep.
And move on. And I will link some in the show
yes.
notes.
That would be awesome. And that's a nice practical thing and a good segue into some just really practical tips of like a mom who's going, okay, I'm starting to internalize these truths. I want to rely on God and begin to be transformed in my desires towards my husband and in my responses. But in the meantime, like practical tips help.
Yeah.
You know, and so what do those things look like?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we always start with praying, get in the Word. This is Risen Motherhood. We're going to talk about that. But pray that you would be gracious, that God would give you stamina and endurance in this season. And pray for the same for your husband, you know, just praying for success at work or that God would make his time more efficient, that your situation would change if that is something that you guys want. And also that God would change your husband's heart, not you. So, and then of course, getting in the Word and having the Bible out to just talk with God and believe the best in Him. I kind of talked about that a little bit of just knowing that like He feels a lot of pressure and to provide financially, especially if you're a stay-at-home mom. And if He tells you like, "Hey, I'd rather be home," trust that He's telling the truth. Like it's hard, but choose to believe that of what He says of His words. And I think talk about it with them. Like, you want things to change, let them know. Like, again, going back to, like, don't be a doormat. Like, have these discussions, but don't exhaust the topic. I think it's very easy for us to nag on that.
And timing is everything.
Emily has taught me that one. She's she is the best husband timer ever.
It just took a few poorly timed conversations. But I think what you're saying is true. Like, again, these types of conversations don't happen necessarily in the heat of he walked in the door late. Let's have the convo right now about how many hours you work.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to wait. And then in a situation that's more controlled, where you can all be rational and you can hear each other, that is the time.
Yes. There was a season where I would hand him my son when he walked in the door and say, "I'm frustrated with you right now, but let's talk about it later." It was like literally in that voice, because I needed to let him know I'm a verbal processor, but I was like, "I'm going to choose to enjoy this with you because I love you and I want what's best for us, but I need you to know how I feel right now," you know? And so, but choosing that timing of when the discussion should come. Another one is making him look good. This goes back to some other things that I said, but like sign the card for him, you know, send the thank you note, say the right words for him, like on behalf of him. Like, I feel like I'm literally doing all this stuff and then I'm like, "Honey, sign here, sign here, sign here," you know, and I prep it all up for him. And I want him to look good. I want to serve him in that way. So also like with your kids, you know, have them call him and tell him stories or make special video and art for videos, art, photos for him. Our kids mirror us so much. And so we want to model that positive attitude and letting them know like, "Daddy loves you and wants to be with you and he can't wait to see that." And like, no matter where you're at in motherhood, I think that that's just a good practice to just, you know, talk up your husband. Wouldn't you want to be talked up? Like, I feel like I would want my husband to do that for me.
And again, it's like some of you are going, "Oh, this sounds so unfair." I think I totally can hear that in my mind too. Like, it's so, that's not fair. He didn't do any of those things. But the gospel is not fair. And God is constantly making us look good by his grace. And he is extending mercy to us when we don't deserve it. So again, it's just another opportunity to model and walk in what we believe God has done for us.
That's a good one. Last couple, I think be flexible with your routine. Kind of like I talked about, our evenings look a little different usually than other people's. Self-care. Do not be afraid to ask for what you need. I have 3 hours of childcare a week and I love it and I'm not ashamed and it's for whatever I want to do. I don't have to do anything motherhood related. And I usually do Risen Motherhood, so but it's not like true.
Sort
like,
of mothered, but not directly.
Yes. But, you know, I think it's, at first I felt really selfish for wanting alone time, especially as a stay-at-home mom. I just kind of felt like that's my contribution, is watching the kids and giving my all to them and not needing childcare. But really, I just realized, you know, I don't really get a lot of built-in breaks. And so how can we build that in? And my husband was so supportive of that when I just came to him and said, "What do you think about this?" You know? And I think that we started with this thing called Selfie Saturdays, sort of lame. and my husband would watch the kids and I would go out, but it kind of became inconsistent and also stole precious and valuable family time. So we do it now, you know, during the week, and I have like a babysitter, which is great. So I would just encourage you to advocate for yourself and don't ask for the moon. Be realistic and like come to your husband and just saying like, "I love you, want to support you, and here is kind of some things I need to be able to do that."
Yes, a lesson for all moms to figure out how to ask for what we need so we can really love our families well.
Yeah.
So So Laura has some writing on this that we will link to in the show notes, risenmotherhood.com. And I know hopefully this week too, she'll share extra wisdom on maybe Instagram stories or something. So anyways, we do hope you'll find us on social media at Risen Motherhood, Instagram, and we're on Facebook and Twitter. So definitely come check us out. And thanks, Laura, for bearing your soul.
Thanks for interviewing me, Emily.